Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast, a show for women who are chasing their everyday and epic adventures. This podcast is hosted by Christy Moan and me, Katherine Taylor, and powered by Feisty Media.
It's
the button is not easy to find. Lindsay backed me up on this.
What? You're going to have to put me on it then at some point, because I'm like, I never have trouble finding the button. Hey, if you're listening, Zoom developers, make the button big and red and right on the main menu of the screen.
Just for
that's
me.
That's what needs to happen.
Just for me.
I think that's probably normal. So,
yeah. It's like you have to go down to more.
Yeah, that part is a little weird. But anyway, how are you?
I'm good. We just were like chit-chatting for like 20 minutes. I was like, oh, we got to go. The members menopause course is going to be on here in 15 minutes. So we've got to record an intro.
So can we talk about like faith in the youth and joy for the future, and like I'm trying to think what other words we could use to describe our conversation we just had.
Well, we always talk about Ella on our team and how Ella is like a 20-some-year-old, 40-some-year-old, like so responsible and so thoughtful. And I was like, you'll never meet another Ella. And we just did. It was pretty amazing. So we met Helena
Gilbert Snyder. Yeah, very good.
She was written up in Velo because she did a mentoring program around the low gap grasshopper mm-hmm. race this year. And so we wanted to just hear more of her story. And I think folks are really, really, really going to enjoy that. And my favorite part was when I said, what do you hope to see when you're our age? And she's like, I don't have time for that. It's got to happen now.
Yeah, it's happening now, folks. I mean, the big takeaways from this, if you've been sitting kind of on the fence thinking about what you can do or if you can do or those sorts of things for like, you know, inspiring the next generation or just building community in your community, she kind of takes the excuses away and, you know, says, just do it. And I think she's right. Start small. It doesn't have to be big. You don't need to unbound it.
Don't start there. Well, I mean, just like there's so many great things like in local communities. We talk about it all on the podcast. I think like you'll be inspired by her, but there's a lot of great takeaways. And listen, I also know that Christy and I usually chit chat for a while and we haven't caught up, but we've both got a lot going on, but we're going to be together.
We're going to be together very soon.
And I'm also trying to get a certain Tucson resident for us to maybe show up and do a live podcast with before she takes off around the world.
Oh, Lael.
Yeah, I'm working on it. So we might even get to do a little live chit chat.
Live with Lael. I like it.
Live with Lael right before gravel camp.
Awesome.
So Christy and I will be together. We'll have a lot more coming out when we're together. But right now we're just like, we're both working real hard so we can get down to gravel camp and sea otter.
Awesome.
Rad stuff. So we're going to get on to our interview with Helena. Damn it. I even had it right the first time. And then I second guessed myself.
It's okay.
I can't get it. And we're both going to go walk our dogs because they're both going crazy.
They both need to go.
They both need to go.
Hey, all, it's your editor, Lindsay, here. I want you to get ready to ante up for the Ultimate Gravel Challenge this summer. Join us at the 2024 Trans Rockies Gravel Royale, where adventure awaits in the breathtaking Canadian Rockies. Experience the thrill of a unique 3-day stage race surrounded by stunning scenery on secluded gravel roads in the British Columbia backcountry. With two distance options, the full pint or half pint distances, there's a challenge for every level of rider. And forget about logistics, Trans Rockies has you covered. Fully supported with tents, meals, aid stations, technical support, and even massage services, so all you have to do is focus on the ride. You'll stay at the picturesque Nipica Mountain Resort, nestled in the heart of the Rockies, and celebrate your achievements with daily podium awards, group dinner, and custom design memorabilia. After the ride, you can unwind at Chillville with cold refreshments, music, games, and camaraderie with your fellow riders. Don't miss out on this epic adventure. Register now at transrockiesgravelroyale.com and use the code GGG24GR100 to save $100 off your entry. The link and discount codes will be in the show notes of this episode. Embrace the challenge, conquer the gravel, and create memories that will last a lifetime. So go all in with us for Trans Rockies Gravel Royale this August.
Okay, I'm already impressed with our guest because she's leaving for Cape Epic tomorrow, and I would have been like, cancel this thing. I am not showing up to a podcast the day before I fly to Africa. but we have Helena Gilbert. Oh, Helena. See, I did it wrong. This is actually quite normal. Helena, it's quite normal for me.
Catherine, that is perfect.
People don't believe it, but I just can't say any name.
I think you freeze.
It's the Zoom freeze.
Yeah. Wait, okay. I don't think it's a Zoom freeze. I think it's a Catherine freeze. We need to rename that.
It's the Catherine freeze.
There you go. Helena.
Helena Gilbert Schneider is joining us today. So we're very excited to have you, even if I can't say your name.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Why that's funny is we had a long conversation about if you say Helena or Helena right before.
And you actually practiced before.
I always practice is the thing, and I always do true. This.
That's awesome.
Christy's introducing people from now on.
No.
Okay, anyway. Well, Helena, we're really excited to talk to you because you've been doing some really rad things with Girls on Bikes, but I have to admit, I know nothing about you except for what I've seen on social media of some of the things you're doing this year. So we have to find out, how did you get on bikes? Tell us your story.
That's a great question because I really got into cycling relatively late, as far as I feel like most people are concerned with youth and cycling. I started riding as a senior in high school on my high school mountain bike team. So I was 18 years old. Honestly, the only reason I got into it is because I quit soccer and needed something else to do. I knew two people on the mountain bike team, and I just said, hey, like, can I join the team? And they said, sure. And that was really it. There was no real reason beyond that, and I was competitive and wanted something else to do. And it stuck from there.
How long ago was that?
Well, I am 25 now, so that was about 7 years ago.
I was gonna say you look really young.
I know. I was like, wait a minute, maybe she's like still.
You're in maybe that, I'm like, 19.
Ambiguous age where people don't know if you're like in your teens or in your 20s, which is a great age to be.
I'll enjoy it while it lasts. I'll enjoy it.
I know. I know. And then, where did bikes take you? Like, did you start competing, or from there, where did you go?
Yeah, from the start, I definitely was focused on competition. I'd say naturally I'm a competitive person in anything that I do. And so the high school team competed in the high school league, so I competed in that. In college, I kind of was more focused on school than on bikes, but I still raced kind of the US Cup XC circuit when I could. So I was still definitely racing competitively. Kind of through all this and with COVID, I got into gravel and road biking, racing both of those competitively as well. And then I'd say, kind of through this experience and a lot more recently, I've gotten more involved with juniors as well as adult women and like giving opportunity for both of those groups.
And your focus, you said gravel, but you also focus quite a bit on mountain biking, obviously.
Yeah, I started with mountain biking. I would still say that's kind of my
That's your love.
passion. I like all of it, but mountain biking is, I'd say, the one that I have the most fun in most of the time.
And you're California based, right?
Yes.
Well, that's
Nice.
helpful. That, 'cause that,
Oh
yeah.
yeah, the not winter season is great. Our worst weather is it's rainy and cold, which I think most people would really enjoy to have in their winter months. So I can complain, but I shouldn't complain about living in California.
Well, you've been doing something really rad with juniors and women at the Grasshopper Series this year, or at the first Grasshopper race. And I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about it. I know it got written up in Fellow, and I saw some about it on social media. So yeah, how did this come about?
Yeah, so this was the second year. This year, 2023 was the first edition. And it started out because I work with high school teams. I coach with El Cerrito High School mountain bike team. I've helped out with the Berkeley High School team. And so I spend a lot of time with both the girls and the boys of that age group who are kind of getting into cycling. And what stuck out to me is that both the girls and the boys are extremely eager to try new things and, go to new events and try new opportunities and be competitive. But really, only the boys were the ones who were actually going out and doing those things. And it really appeared to be something where the desire was there, but these girls felt like they didn't have the support or the knowledge or the capability to do something like that, while the boys did. So, the first year I put this program together, I had the intention of really wanting to show these riders that, hey, like, here's a program where we will take you, we'll pair you up one-on-one with a pro rider, and this pro rider will race the entire race with you. They'll help you with pacing. They'll help you with nutrition. If you have a crash or you have a mechanical, like they will be there to get rid of really all of those fears of what if I can't do it? What if I have questions? What if I'm scared? What if someone's mean to me? What if I don't know where to go? What if I get lost? All of these things that maybe to adults seem like silly things to worry about, but to a 16-year-old girl who is going to an event where most of the riders are men and most of the riders are way more experienced in different ages, can really just make that not possible for them. And so that's what we did. We had seven riders, I think, the first year, and this past year we had 20 on the start line. So the size tripled in 1 year. We've had a 100% finish rate both years. We've had riders finish in 3.5 hours. We've had riders finish in 7 hours. But every rider has crossed that finish line with a smile. All of them have said, like, yes, I'll do it again. Yes, it was awesome. The mentors, I think, felt that way as well. And really, what I tell these riders, and especially tell their parents when they ask me, is that the fact is these riders can do this event by themselves. I know they can. Most, like, everyone around these riders know that they can. Probably the riders somewhere inside know they can too. But just to have that safety net, even if the mentor and the rider never talk the entire race or never interact, just having that there is what is allowing these riders to go to these events and gain the confidence to then go and do other ones. And really the challenge that I gave the writers this year was, after completing LOGAP, I want you in the next 6 months to go to another event. It can be a running event. It can be a triathlon. It can be a mountain bike race. It doesn't really matter what the event is, but I want you to find something that you're going to go to by yourself and do. Because I think that they have learned that they can do it themselves, because at the end of the day, they are the ones pedaling their bike. You know, they can't get pushed to the finish line no matter what they're doing. And so I want them to start to gain that self-confidence to propel themselves to events and try new things without needing that safety net so close to them.
The grasshoppers, do you just do it at the LOGAP? Is that the one? Or do you do it at
Yes.
Other?
Okay. Okay. The program is currently just at LOGAP, which is end of January usually.
Yeah. I found it so inspirational. Just what I thought was funny was watching the pro women that were paying it forward. I almost felt like they were getting more out of it than the girls that they were mentoring.
Yeah. And that's really been my experience in talking to the mentors and kind of my interactions with them. Obviously, like, all of them are choosing to really spend their day helping someone else. I mean, for them, it's not, you know, a hard workout or things like that. But I think for a lot of these kind of either semi-pro or more professional riders, it can be hard to feel like they are really on the ground helping the sport in a positive way beyond just like being an influencer or like being on social media. And so to be able to do something for one person and to make very distinct and impactful change for a rider, I think helps them feel like what they're doing is worthwhile. Everyone likes to, you know, feel like they are important and that someone like appreciates and respects them. And of course, all of these riders, you know, absolutely fall in love with their mentors because the mentors are great. You know, like they are spending 6 hours out there with this kid, you know, fully committed to making that kid successful. And so, you know, it's beneficial to everyone out there. The mentors get a lot out of it in a different way than the kids do. But in holding a couple of these kind of U19 programs over the past year, I have mentors coming back and doing more of them. And it's not because I pay them, because I do not, but I think it is because it's nice to feel like you are changing something in the world. No matter how big or small that is, it's nice to kind of feel that like your life is impacting someone else's life. And I think that's what's happening here.
So when you first kind of launched this program, did you go to Miguel or did you just kind of do it on your own, or how did it kind of come about?
I definitely went to Miguel. I said, "Hey, Mig, I have an idea." And he said, "Absolutely, let's do it." And truly, you know, Miguel has made it possible. He is always willing to, like, whatever crazy idea I have, he's like, "Okay, like let's try to make it happen." And he definitely has been really the first one and the only one to fully believe in what I'm trying to do, really to fully believe in these riders and this program. And I hope that he understands how impactful he is in making this possible, because again, you know, you can have the greatest ideas out there, but if someone else isn't willing to make it happen for you and to like give you the space to launch it and promote it, it won't go anywhere. So definitely the Grasshopper program has been huge in making this successful, and also the community there. It's very well, I guess, well put out there that, hey, like, everyone here, be nice to these riders, support them. If they have problems, help them out. It's kind of this, like, everyone, I think, feels it as this, here's a very unique opportunity to bring this new group into cycling. We have to do what we can together to make it positive. You know, it's like, everyone has to, you know, do all they can around these riders to really welcome them into the sport. And I think that, you know, Miguel is emphasizing that the riders who show up, who are just racing it outside of the program, are showing that. Overall, it's a great community, a great atmosphere. And again, I mean, we've had massive success there in 2 years, which is incredible.
Fantastic. Do you do anything like in the lead up, or is it just part of what they normally are doing on their high school team and training that preps them?
We do a little bit of lead up because we have riders really from all over California, from SoCal and NorCal and East Bay, all of that. We don't do much in person. This year we did do one like kind of in-person meet and greet. So we had, I don't know, about 10 riders and 10 mentors. So about half of the people who kind of just came together, kind of met face-to-face, chatted for a little bit. We did also have two Zoom calls where all the riders joined. We talked to Rebecca Rush. We talked to Kate Courtney. We talked to Miguel. We kind of went through the mental side of the event. We went to the physical side of the event. We talked about, you know, everything about race day. We talked about the bikes. We talked about the weather. We talked about any question, you know, the kids had. We would talk through. We would kind of, again, like try to get rid of any lingering questions, like make it as clear as possible, give them the confidence and at least the tools to be successful. So although it wasn't a lot of, you know, riding in advance or a lot of face-to-face like mentor to riders, most riders and mentors chatted via Zoom in advance or at least connected via email. And we did give the riders the Zoom calls and like the meet and greet as additional opportunities.
I love the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
Like that. I think, yeah. You can implement it.
People are like, how do I do this? And it's too complicated. And then if you're like, talk to your local race director, do a few Zoom calls, find some rad women in your community, right? Like that's not as big of a lift as.
Yeah, I would say it's not necessarily complicated, but it does take a lot of time. Yeah. This year we had Miguel, who was a huge part. We had Austin, who helps out with the Grasshopper series as well. You know, obviously I was helping out. So there's definitely a lot of, I'd say a lot of hours and thought that needs to go into it. But again, you know, for people who want to start getting into this, you don't have to make it this, I guess, complex or big. So start off, I mean, again, last year I had 7 riders. And so I think that sometimes people get too excited and they want to do something massive from the start. And I really want to encourage people to instead try to have a really perfect, simple idea that's small scale and then go from there. Because if you bite off more than you can chew and either you get overwhelmed or like the event just kind of like isn't great, it really doesn't really set it up well for success going down the road. So again, thinking more of like what is sustainable, what is something impactful but reasonable, right? Like I think it's better to have a program with 2 riders and that's like spectacular than have 10 riders where all of them are kind of like, eh, I don't know if I would do it again. Yeah. So really focusing on that side of things.
For sure.
It sounds like that partnership with the race, the right race, right event, correct, the proper event. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It sounds like your partnership with the event is key, right? You can't just like show up at any event. You've got to have a good relationship with
Definitely.
So that the whole event supports it.
Yeah. It's like the Low Gap event is well placed in the season. It's a good location. It's a great course. It's a great director. So really like all of the key things are coming together in a great way. But I'm sure there are other spaces in the US where all of those things come together as well. So I don't think that, you know, this is a program or just any program that can only happen here.
I kind of like the idea too of even the girls that are being mentored, being able to come back and mentor. I mean, you know, that's kind of a cool aspect of it too, of like, well, I've been here, done that. obviously they're not going to have maybe the background of a pro, but they still have the, you know, like girls like to go to the bathroom together. It's like you can grab another, you can grab yeah. another girl and go to the bathroom together. Well, I mean, ride your bike. Never mind. But you
can. Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, if this goes on year after year and based on the success, I think it will. I'm sure that we will have, you know, returning riders who first, you know, race in the pro division by themselves and then maybe come back and are a mentor. And that would be great to see, you know, because mm-hmm. again, 2 years ago, this event had zero U19 girls. And right now they had 20, which was the biggest women's field at that event this year, which is really, really remarkable.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Well, and I also think, you know, like you have an opportunity because of where you're located and what that race attracts, like for pros to come race it. But there are a lot of women out there that have a lot of years of cycling under their belt and a lot of knowledge that I think would love the opportunity to take somebody under their wing at an event and just like cheer them on and like see that next generation succeed, right? It doesn't have to be like a pro or somebody at that elite level. There's, and I've talked to them, right? And they're like, have often been overlooked. They've been like, oh, the girl, that's the girl's ride. And they're just badass women cyclists that,
yeah,
you know, a lot of young people would benefit. God, now I sound like I'm yeah. A lot of young people would benefit from this. I'm having a yeah. day.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't just have to be pros. And, you know, of course, while we had many high profile pros this year, we also had a lot of more local riders who are just very excellent athletes who are experienced. So we really had a full range of, you know, we had parents with full-time jobs as mentors all the way up to, you know, full-on professional cyclists. And so again, like that range is there. If you, again, like match up your mentor to your rider well. And also we had men this year for the first time as mentors, which to me is very important to do. Of course, I knew all of the men personally who I invited to be a mentor. So, you know, I trusted them. I know who they are. And so I think that's important to do. But I do want to make this something that men start getting into and men feel responsibility for, because while I think that women have great power in, of course, bringing women and girls into the sport, when, again, like cycling is 70% men, men have a huge opportunity and ability to bring more women in and change the atmosphere and change the experience that women have. So instead of making this, hey, this is a women's problem for women to fix, you go, no, this is a problem for all of us, including the men, and men have just as much responsibility, if not more, really, to be responsible and take action to bring girls and women into the sport. And I think that by either kind of dismissing that or letting them get away with saying, oh, like, I'm not a girl, I'm not a woman, I don't know how to do that, is like, well, okay, you talk to women in your life, you know what who girls are. Like, if you can't hold a conversation and know how to be respectful and inviting, you probably shouldn't be in a social sport anyway. So like, this is not rocket science. It's like, can you be friendly? Can you, you know, again, like, it's like, break down those barriers that people are facing regardless of gender. It's really just like, are you a good person or not, and can you think beyond just yourself? And that's what we're going for. And so I really, really want to emphasize that men have responsibility here and so much opportunity. And they, like our male mentors, had a great time. You know, we want them to come back. I think they will come back, and the riders they were paired with also had a great time with their mentors.
It's like the, you know, don't be a dick thing.
Yeah, at the basic level, that is exactly level, what it is.
Just be kind, like, you know, and yeah. And I do think you bring up a really good point, because I think we get, especially, it is not just our problem to fix. And you're giving men actually a pretty good avenue to help.
Yeah, help fix and- it. I do understand how men might feel a little awkward just trying to get into it themselves. Because to be fair, it might seem a little odd for a random man to say, hey, like, I want to bring you 19 girls.
I want to mentor a 19
yeah.
girl. Yeah.
But
agreed.
Yeah.
Guys, don't be weird. Just be don't normal. Be weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But I would say, like, let that guide your action. Don't let that prevent you from doing something.
That's
you know, so
point. How
I
old
think
are you
that.
Again?
She's like 45.
Just keep adding decades.
She's like Ella on our team, like,
yeah,
20 something going on 40, the 40 something wisdom and being spoken.
That's awesome.
Amazing. I did, like, so I've heard this from a few people, and I would love your perspective since you coach high school girls and boys. So I kind of have two questions around this, but one is, we've heard the development path can be really hard for girls in this sport, because you kind of, there's really not a lot. You go from like racing the U19 and then it's like you're thrown in. And you know, there's other sports that can be very CrossFit would be an extreme, right? But they're very, it can be very focused on body composition, which cycling can get into that realm. And now we're seeing like all these girls kind of in that, like, they did the under, like the young, they were younger in the sport. And then when they start to move on to that next level, they just get super burnt out because of the pressure there. And so, like, what do you see that we need in that, like, taking girls to the next level? Because often we know women, girls are still developing in puberty until they're basically your age, right? So
yeah,
how do we help them stay in the sport? And how do we solve all these problems?
Well, as a 25-year-old going on 45-year-old.
Thank you for embracing that.
I have seen a lot of incredibly talented juniors burn out, you know, and they are living perfectly happy lives now, but, you know, they left cycling. And I think a lot of it has to do with, there is, I'd say in any sport, but there is kind of this focus on being successful now. And I think that especially for younger riders, it's very hard to look 5, 10 years down the road. And so when they have people around them, maybe well-meaning, but, you know, coaches or parents or teammates who are like, oh, like, nationals are this year, and I have to be like, I'm U19 for one more year, and then I'm U23 for only three. There is this pressure to be the best you can be right now. And look, you're 18. I didn't start racing till I was 18. You know, Annika Långvad, who's one of the most incredible cross-country mountain bikers, she got into the sport in her late 20s. You know, it's like, there is zero pressure to be the best that you can be right now. And of course, that's easy for me to say, as like, oh, like, who cares what nationals you do well at? But I always am a little hesitant to put or kind of encourage juniors to go on training plans or really worry about heart rate or power, not because those things are bad, but because I think that they, for riders who are naturally competitive and naturally driven and focused, it gives them something to obsess over. And again, when you're young and your body is still developing and you're still gaining muscle mass and you're still really figuring out how your hormones work and all of those things, you can really easily kind of dig yourself into a hole. And so I think that's really hard to balance, because on one side, people who say, let's say they want to go race road professionally in Europe, you kind of have to be at your highest level as a U19 rider to get into the pro scene in Europe. Because if you don't live in Europe, the only way to get invited there is to be one of these hyper-talented U23 riders. For mountain biking, it's a different kind of pressure, but same thing, you know, everyone's looking for these up-and-coming talents. But is it really worth it to have 10 up and coming talents and burn out 9 of them for that one who sticks it out? And I think for me, the answer is no. But I think that, you know, while USA Cycling and other programs are holding these talent ID camps for these juniors, they are looking for that one talent who can stick it out and maybe not looking at this bigger picture of the health of juniors as a whole, because I would much rather see juniors be steadily improving both mentally and physically through 25 than peaking at 19 and then never riding a bike again. But if they peaked at 19, got their team a national championship, maybe for that team it's worth it, right? Like their team maybe doesn't care what they're doing at 25. So I think it really comes down to what do we as a sport and as organizations and people prioritize, right? Because if we're just prioritizing success, whenever that is, maybe we do keep burning out young riders because it will get you national championships and, you know, world titles at young ages, but it probably will not get you long legacies in the sport. If we are looking for really the long-term athletes and we want as many of them as we can, we might really want to try to start prioritizing that. Of course, that's kind of the less fun, the less glamorous side of it. But I think that if parents kind of start thinking about that way, I think that they would have a lot of impact because, you know, again, like I think that seeing talented riders struggle with, you know, their body weight or just like being healthy or like always being sick all the time, is that something that we celebrate or not? So again, the answer here depends on what you're going to prioritize. And, you know, it's up to us to choose what that is.
Feels like there needs to be a little bit of both.
Yeah, I don't think it's completely mutually exclusive, but I think that there needs to be intention with what we're choosing and why, instead of just like being like, I don't know, we'll see what comes out the other side. Like we should know what we're going for, and like where and why, versus just doing it and seeing what happens.
An excellent point. What
Yeah.
you got, Catherine?
No, it makes sense. It's just it's been interesting because there
Yeah.
have been like I've watched this in the CrossFit space in the last couple of years, like three or four
Yeah.
women that are like in that did really well at under 18, and then when they were pushed up into the next elite level, just they never had the chance to be kids, and they the pressure and like you have to build the social media following if you want to get to the next level, and like always being criticized and people have feel free to, especially as a young girl, talk about the way you look all the time, especially in sports where people tend to focus on body composition. So I think cycling can be on that bubble a lot, you know, where people can say things to younger athletes not realizing what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, like that whole you're looking really lean, you're gonna be fast, or those comments. So
Yeah.
and you don't know how to handle those. So anyway, then my other question is really, I'm curious about the boys on your team, because I know you said they're more willing to just go out and race, but what I've seen from research is like the younger generation is typically more supportive of women's sports than the previous generations. Like they're more, do you find that to be true, or are you like, yeah, the boys are boy stuff and
No, I mean, I do find that to be true.
good.
Part of it, so let's see, how do I describe this? With the high school teams that I interact with and hang out with, all the boys know me. So like there's just kind of a relationship there in advance, but there is really zero attitude of, oh, you're a girl, like, oh, you're fast for a girl. Like, oh, like, why are you here? There's really just zero attitude like that. And it can, and it passes on to their teammates. There really is no kind of different beliefs or attitudes, whether there's a girl or a boy in the team. they're really just friends, and like they, however fast you are is however fast you are, and it's kind of goes beyond your gender. It's just where you're at, and it is remarkable to see that difference between the high school teams and racing up at like the adult level in the local road scene, because it doesn't matter how fast a woman is in the local road scene, some man is going to say something about her or like make some comment that's disparaging, for really no reason at all. And I guess it's encouraging that the kids are acting like this, that the kids are really being more welcoming than the adults are. I think some of it has to do with, again, having women in front of them who, they like and they talk to and they can have a fun time with, as well as having girls on their teams who, again, like they're friends with and they hang out with at school. Like, again, building those relationships, I think, just make it normal, right? It's not like, oh, boys are fast and girls are slow. It's just like, oh, this is, we exist together on a team, and that's just how it is. It's not about, your gender defining how you're going to act towards someone. So yeah, I would definitely agree that at least with the high school kids that I hang out with, who I think are the best anywhere, so maybe I'm biased towards that, but at least the teams that I hang out with, definitely act that way. And I think that, again, like their coaches on the Berkeley High team and the El Cerrito High School team, are very, very aligned with kind of my philosophy. I've spent a lot of time with them, maybe argued with some of them a couple times, but they put a hell of a lot of effort into making their teams inclusive and making their teams, like the behavior, be really, really good. Like comments about gender, regardless of who it is or who it's towards, would not fly, right? And I think that, again, like the adults in that environment have a big role in like making this environment so positive. So there's a lot of things that kind of come together that make it beneficial, at least with what I've seen. But it is kind of weird to feel like in a lot of ways, these high schoolers who are 15, 16 years old might treat me more like a person than a 50-year-old that I don't know at some road race who for some reason thinks that I should not exist.
That just sums
Wow.
it up big time.
Yeah.
Like, dang.
Yeah. Well,
I want to say they're older, but there are those in my
yeah.
generation that are
And
still.
there are super supportive people in every generation,
Yeah.
right? But I think like it's definitely a it's Christy's puppy is coming to visit. Who's much sweeter than mine trying to kill the puppy outside. But Christy and I are closer to that 50-year-old that you talked about, so like double your age. And when you get to our age, like what are you? Because we look at women's sports, right? And we're like so excited because we see these things that we never saw when we were growing up. Like, and that's I think why we get so emotional about even the women that are racing at the elite level in cycling because we never got to see women, growing up in those spaces. But what do you hope is just the norm when you're at this stage in life?
I mean, in a lot of ways, I really just try to make what I want to see the norm now, right? Like, I don't really want to see a norm in 25 years. I want to see it now. So, everything that I do and why I do it is because I think it's something that should be happening now. It's like, obviously, there's, a lot of time that things take to happen, but for me, which I can say at 25 because I don't know any better, it's like, well, I don't want to wait any longer. Like, I'm going to do this now. I don't know if I'll have tomorrow to do it. Like, I don't know where I'll be in a year. So I can't wait for a more perfect time, So I think that that's kind of how I approach it. I don't really approach it as, oh, in 25 years, I hope that, older men and younger men act the same way. It's like, well, tomorrow, I'm going to do all I can to make that happen now. A lot of times, sometimes women will be like, oh, like now is not the perfect time to do this, or, maybe next year we can do it. And it's like, there's never going to be a perfect time. Like, there's never going to be full support. There's never going to be, everything you ever wanted lined up. And again, like you never know what's going to happen the next day. So it's like, if today is the day, like, and you have the energy to do it, you just have to do it now. So, hopefully when I'm 25 years older, these kids that I've worked with are doing the stuff that I've done right now, but like all like in their own little worlds, all across the US. They're finding the things that they think are important, and not waiting around for someone else to do
Well, that we should just end right there.
Well, and that's the podcast.
I really am a believer in the phrase progress over perfection. And really, everything you're talking about is like, just don't worry about it being big. Start small, control do what you can, make it happen. And, good things come out of that. So, for sure. Well, I want to hear quickly about Cape Epic.
Yeah, so you're heading
I
next
mean,
week when
I
this
know that
comes
was a
out. I think
perfect
you'll be
spot to
racing
end,
Cape
but I still
Epic.
want to hear about Cape Epic.
Sure. Yeah, so I leave in just over 12 hours from now. So I'll be headed to Cape Epic with my partner Randy from Miami. We're racing the mixed division, and it's a little funny because we obviously are going there with the goal to win, because why else would we be going there? But I broke my leg this winter, and he's torn his meniscus. So between the two of us, we have two working legs. But it'll be great. I think that I'm at least healthily concerned about the event. Definitely excited, but it's almost 400 miles, 55,000 feet of climbing in 8 days. So it's not easy by any means. And there's, again, no real way to get through it without just pedaling your bike through it. So there are no easy miles and there's no shortcuts. But, again, it's like, I don't like, I had the opportunity to come up for this year, and I don't know what I'll be doing in 1 year from now, right? So it's like, I'm going to take those opportunities when I get them, and it's going to be super fun.
Amazing.
I can't wait to watch.
Yeah. Well, where can people follow you or find you if they want to follow your adventures or what you're doing with girls?
Let's see. I am a relatively boring social media person, but they can follow me on Instagram. I think my username is Hellracer. HEL period HACER, something like that. You can find me.
Lindsay will find it.
Strava is probably my favorite thing, because I just get to name my ride titles whatever I want to name them. And I think I have a website that's not usually updated, but hey, if you want to go look at it, go knock yourself out. But yeah, I feel like the best place to meet me is in real life, but I'm not as cool on the internet.
Well, we
Good
always
for
like a good
you.
ride name on Strava. Well, thank you so much for your time today and for imparting all of your wisdom to us. I am feeling very encouraged about the future with people like you investing in
Agreed.
girls.
Who knows what the next 25 years will bring?
You have been listening to the Girls Gone Gravel podcast. This podcast is edited and produced by the team at Live Feisty Media. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating. It really helps other women find the podcast. And be sure to follow us at Girls Gone Gravel on Instagram or Facebook.